Good morning and happy Sabbath, everyone. Welcome to the house of God. This morning, God wants to speak to all of us. And I always say, you know, I'm always challenged when God uses me to speak. I know he wants to say something to me. And I pray that you'll hear from him in a very special way as he delivers his message this morning. Let us pray. Father in heaven, we thank you for who you are to us. We thank you that you do not treat us as we deserve. You do not reward us according to iniquities. And this morning, you call us to reflect on promises. Your promises to us, our promises to you, and to each other. And we thank you that ultimately, all you're doing is working your purpose out for our lives, so that indeed, we can live and reign eternally with you. Thank you, God, for speaking to our hearts this morning. And above all, save us when you come, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. I must apologize. In submitting the scripture reading, I made a little bit of a mistake. So instead of 1 Samuel chapter 2, verse 27 and 28, what should have been read was 1 Samuel chapter 1, verse 27 and 28. And I'll just read that in your hearing. For this child I prayed, and the Lord hath given me my petition, which I asked of him. Therefore also I have lent him to the Lord. As long as he liveth, he shall be lent to the Lord. And he worshipped the Lord there. We thank God for his word. Think about it. You're experiencing drought, financial drought, emotional drought, social drought, physical wellness drought. You can add the other kinds of drought that you might be going through. Friends attack and mock. Year in, year out, day to day. No words of comfort, even from those dearest to you, to give you relief from your pain. To whom can you turn? Like Hannah, you can turn to the one who is strong, who can lift you above all the dryness that surrounds you. So in bitterness of soul, you agonize with God for answers, for deliverance. But even your waiting time, your prayer time, is believed to be a mockery. You're still taunted. You're told you're not genuinely seeking God. You're suffering because of your own sinfulness, your complacency, your lack of faith. You're told that you're in a drought because God does not favor you. And of course, those looking on don't believe you could be asking God for deliverance because nothing's happening. Even the people of God around you call your prayer time a spell of drunkenness. What can you do? Just remember that it is our privilege to wait on God. One of my favorite songs says, waiting on you, patiently waiting on you. I ain't worried about the time. Lord, I seem to find strength while I'm waiting on you. So Hannah prayed, promised, and waited. We can read her prayerful promise in 1 Samuel chapter 1, verse 11, where she says, O Lord of hosts, if thou wilt indeed look on the affliction of thy handmaid, and remember me, and not forget thine handmaid, but will give unto thine handmaid a man-child, then will I give him unto the Lord all the days of his life, and there shall no razor come upon his head. The emotional and social drought that Hannah experienced would be lifted in response to Hannah's deep gratitude to God for his power to rescue his trapped children. She would render to God her own token of appreciation. She would give back to God that which he would give to her. Hannah's attitude and actions are the best and most appropriate reaction to the gifts God gives to us. When God lifts the financial drought, it is our responsibility to use the resources to honor him. When God lifts the spiritual drought, we need to recognize that we are saved to serve. It is interesting that in response to God's deliverance from her drought, Hannah offered what I call her highest praise, as a token of her gratitude to God. She could have made excuses. She could have said, okay, Lord, when he's a young man, I want to, you know, I want you to choose him for service. Or when he's old enough, you know, pray that he'll choose you, or grant that he will choose you. You know, or, you know, at some point we can talk about what I'll give to you, Lord. But none of that. From before she received the gift, she gave him totally back to God all the days of his life, and he was set apart for holy use from day one. Interestingly enough, she made what I not understand to be a kind of a Nazarite vow on behalf of this child. She said in 1 Samuel 1, verse 11, that no razor should come upon his head. And if we go over to Numbers, we find that in chapter 6, verse 5, when people decided to separate themselves unto the Lord for holy use, it says in Numbers 6, verse 5, that all the days of the vow of his separation, no razor come upon his head until the days be fulfilled in which he separated himself unto the Lord. He shall be holy and shall let the locks of his hair grow. So she was giving her child over to God and leaving a special mark on him to say, when you look at your hair, remember that you are set apart for holy use. Note that Hannah was setting aside her child for holy use from the day he was born. And of course, she recognized that she had a role in preparing him for this special work. So in the book Patriarchs and Prophets, we are told in page 572 that from the earliest dawn of intellect, she taught her son to love and reverence God and to regard himself as the Lord's. By every familiar object surrounding him, she had sought to lead his thoughts up to the Creator. Even Eli, as we are told in the same book, was awed and humbled as he beheld this mother's great sacrifice in parting with her only child, that she might devote him to the service of God. Of course, Hannah, when she got that son from God, all she asked is for one man child, a man child. So she was content with the one. But God is wonderful. When we give to him, we get so much more in return. Because as you read in 1 Samuel 2, verse 21, she actually had other children, 3 sons and 2 daughters, while Samuel grew before the Lord. So what is my promise to God today? I need to be taken higher in God and to be lifted out of the spiritual drought in which I find myself. Are you going through a dry period? Give back to God the gifts you desire from him even before you receive it. Live in the reality of your token of appreciation to him. Your gifts to God will be a tremendous source of blessing to a whole nation. Look at the influence Samuel had on the nation back then, and today he still is influencing our own lives as we look at his life story. I'd like to draw your attention to 2 passages of scripture, 1 Samuel 2, verse 18 and verse 21. Verse 18 says, "But Samuel ministered before the Lord, being a child, girded with a linen ephod." And I really want to draw your attention to the last part of verse 21 that says, "The child Samuel grew before the Lord." We must keep our promises before the Lord and allow these gifts to grow and develop into greater ministries. Samuel remained and grew before the Lord with the support of his mother's daily prayers. Every day he was the subject of her prayers, according to Patriarchs and Prophets, page 572. And every year she would give him a special garment on her yearly visit to worship at the temple in Shiloh. And this garment was a reminder of her love. Every fiber of it was woven with a prayer that he might be pure, noble, and true. She prayed that her son might honor God and bless his fellow men. When we keep our promises to God, we bless the world with our influence. What a difference it would make if I truly dedicated my job to the Lord, seeking to honor God by giving of my best. What a difference it could make if I dedicated my talent, my time, my means to God, watering them with my prayers so that they can remain before the Lord and grow before the Lord. There's another hymn that I really like. It's hymn 76. And it reminds me that whatever I give to God comes back to me in greater measure to bless other persons' lives and mine even more abundantly. And it's a song, "Oh Love That Will Not Let Me Go." And that second line or third line says, "I give thee back the life I owe, that in thine ocean depths its flow may richer, fuller be." And verse 2 says, "I yield my flickering torch to thee. My heart restores its borrowed ray, that in thy sunshine's blaze its day may brighter, fairer be." There's a song that we also used to sing, "You Can't Beat God's Giving," because the more you give, the more he gives back to you. Let us not be afraid to give back to God that which he has given to us, and be faithful in keeping our promises. We serve a God who keeps his promises. And we are told in Hebrews 10, verse 23, "Let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for he is faithful that promised." And there are five things God cannot do. One of them is that he cannot break his promises. And for your information, the other four is that he cannot change, he cannot lie, he cannot remember sins he's forgiven, and he cannot fail his children. But he cannot break his promises. As followers of God, we need to keep our promises to each other as well. Today, we're going to be in penitence before God as we fast and pray and trust God to forgive us for breaking our promises to him and to others. When new members join our church, there are many times we promise that we would be their spiritual supporters. And yet many of them slip through the cracks unnoticed as they struggle with the billowing waves of sin. Let us pledge by God's grace to stand by at least one new believer who joins the church each quarter. Let us make this arrangement in the quietness of our own hearts and trust God to empower us to keep this promise. Often we promise that we'll be faithful stewards of our resources. We promise to return faithful tithes and offerings. And when the billowing waves of bills and financial commitments and all other stresses sweep over us, we forget our promises to God. We promise to be faithful family members, loving our loved ones as Jesus does. Yet when the tossing billows of work commitments and the pressure of their own unkindness or external and internal forces sweep over our souls, we forget our promises. Let us take a leaf out of Hannah's book. How did she keep her promise? She kept her promise before the Lord, and it grew into a world of good, changing our lives even today. So what is your promise to God today? As you reflect on your own barrenness and the emptiness of your circumstances, what are you prepared to give back to God as a token of your appreciation for his deliverance? The first step we need to take is to dedicate our own lives totally and unreservedly to him. Next, we must resolve to give back to him from day one, even before we receive the trophies of our deliverance he gives in exchange for our drought, our barrenness, and our brokenness. Like Hannah, we can keep the gift before the Lord every day, watering with our prayers. It will grow before the Lord and change the world forever. Let's keep our promises, because God always keeps his promises.